There's the lifestyle klaxon, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be talking about this. Now, if you know your music, this is White Lies and Death. See what I've done there?
Genius.
Because apparently discussing money and death can feel very uncomfortable. And new research has shown that almost half of us have never had a conversation about inheritance. To talk about this, it is the very lovely Janet Ellis. Good morning, Janet.
Hi, Darren. Do you spend a lot of time thinking about those music choices?
Right. Sometimes. All I did was type death into the search engine and it came up with that.
Lovely. Yeah, very special.
Exactly. Janet, good morning. I hope you're really, really well.
I am. Thank you very much.
I suppose it's difficult. People only really talk about death when it's sort of like... whenever there is a death in the family or something is quite close to you, that's when you start talking about it. But it's probably something you should talk about, you know, before that, really.
Absolutely, yes. And this, you know, this is prompted by some research from Bruin Dolphin, who just wanted to find out what we are doing in those conversations about death, and more importantly, what we're doing with our stuff afterwards. In other words, making a will, because it kind of goes together, doesn't it? You know,
yeah.
The conversation about death ought to lead on to what's going to happen next. And people shy away from that too. And astonishingly, nearly half the people in the country have not made a will, which is quite an astonishing statistic, really, I think.
Yeah, I think so, because it can cause all sorts of problems when you die intestate, as they
call it. Absolutely, it really can.
And that's the issue, isn't it? It's because you don't know what's going to go, and then you could have all sorts of family arguments.
Absolutely. And it's important to stress, in this topic, we are not talking about people with thousands of houses to leave and equally millions of pounds. This is all of us, you know, the stuff that we've accumulated. Some of it, of course, is financial, and it's really important to have that discussion with somebody who can properly advise you and then point you to a solicitor who will equally take on your case. But it's also the small stuff, and it's really important that that's got a proper home to go to. And sometimes it's something that you really want somebody to something to have, and they haven't been told about it. So avoid those fights afterwards too.
Janet, it's Derek here. I mean, how young should we be thinking about it? Because I mean, with some people out there who don't really own anything.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And if you're talking about somebody who's still living off a student loan, then obviously, yeah. But even then, actually, you can start thinking about, and I have to say, hands up here, I've been planning this for a long time. Start thinking about your funeral. You know, make known your wishes for a conversation that you will never be able to have. And personally, I don't think it's morbid. I think it's essential, because after all, it is a fact of life, isn't it, that we are all going to die. But naturally, most of this is aimed at people who are looking around. Maybe they're worried about the fact that they've got parents in care, and that might happen to them too. They have children or grandchildren that they want to look after, and you can't do that on your own. You need proper professional advice to do it, and the answer to your question in short is start now.
I think that's the key, isn't it, really? If you've got like your dependents or anything, really, you do need to put plans in place, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Look, when we go on holiday, we don't mind saying to people, you know, make sure you feed the dog and the cat and water the plants. You know, this is actually an extension of that conversation, really. But I absolutely accept that it's really hard for people to just start that in the middle of a casual day. I think you need to home in on something a bit more specific. And as you were saying, if a major life event has happened for somebody, they've spent time in hospital, say, or their circumstances have changed, then that's when you can lead into the conversation about, well, what do you think? Well, you know, let's have a little think about what happens next. Because after all, I personally think that making a will is a generous act rather than a selfish one. After all, this is going to happen when you're not there to administer this. And the nice thing that you can do for your family, your friends, any dependents that you have, or the charity that you want to benefit, is to say, this is what I want to happen afterwards, because it's a generous and thoughtful thing to do.
Quite right too, Janet. We can't not have you on and not talk children's TV. Because, I mean, you are my youth, Janet.
There's are you no... one of my children?
Jigsaw.
I loved
Jigsaw. I was
me
a bit, big fan of that. And then, of course, Blue Peter. When you got the gig on Blue Peter, was that just... that would be like the best day of my life if I got offered a job on Blue Peter.
It's Pretty close to that, yeah. It was amazing. I have to say, I started off as an actress. That's what I'd always wanted to do. And Jigsaw, if you remember Jigsaw, that seminal programme, there were pieces that I occasionally spoke into camera, and people started to say to me, maybe you should think about presenting. And, of course, I was mortified because I was headed in my mind for damehood at the RSC. But actually, Blue Peter is the closest thing to acting, really, because we didn't in those days have autocue. We had to learn our scripts.
Wow.
And it was always live. So, yeah. It was a very slimmed down version of what I was used to doing. But I have to say, it was the best fun. It was just great. It was, I'm really lucky that the people I worked with, I got on with at the time, and we've all stayed friends. And of course, it's just a job, that doesn't have to happen. But we were particularly fortunate, I think.
Because how long were you on Blue Peter for?
4 years.
4 years?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it felt longer than that when I was in, but maybe that was me growing up.
Well, also, in Blue Peter terms, it's aimed at 8 to 12-year-olds. So that four years, I like to think, sees out a generation.
Yeah, no, definitely.
They were ready for the next stage then.
I can't believe that there was no auto-cue.
I know.
How the hell did you do that?
I actually don't know. I think because I didn't know any different. I'd never done presenting before. So I kind of, you got the script the night before the programme, often very late, often when you've been off filming somewhere cold, wet and far away. And there was the script. And of course, Biddy Baxter, the legendary editor of the programme, who is still with us, did not care how far away and how cold it was and how late you got back, and wanted you to just know your script. So that, yeah, it was a constant, that's what you do when you're in the studio. But I think because that was all we knew, little innocent us, that's what we thought happened. And the first time I ever went into a studio, there was an autocue. I just thought, wow, you can just read this stuff.
Technology. Yeah. What's the most random thing you had to build?
I did
sticky
have
back
to
plastic.
Make, all homage to sticky back plastic. And it introduced me to things like doweling, which I'd never heard of before, and braddles, which I must say I didn't really know what they were for. But I remember once making a tool holder for fathers out of an empty bleach bottle, which is slightly
wonderful,
worrying on account of the amount of washing you have to do, really. Also, it's fair to say that most of the makes were absolutely brilliant. I do think there was one woman called Margaret Parnell who used to interpret children's ideas for makes into something actually worked, and also came up with a lot on her own. But this one, it's fair to say that unless you used a lot of building material substance, I'm not going to name it, obviously, because BBC, but it fell over. It fell the minute you put a screwdriver in, it wasn't, ship shape, basically. But and in rehearsal, I pointed this out to the massive amusement, of course, of the camera crew and everybody else, not to Miss Baxter. She was not amused by that. And obviously on the show, I would not have said anything other than it's great. But, it didn't entirely. It was 50% successful, I think.
50% successful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I might have made that one for my dad. I think I did.
Well, yeah, a version of it, yeah.
Janet, if people want to find out a little bit about what we were talking about earlier with regards to making a will, where can they go to?
Oh, please head to brewin.co.uk.
Lovely.
Everything will be revealed.
Janet Ellis, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Yorkshire.
It's a pleasure. My husband's from Huddersfield, so you know.
Oh, well, you're one of us, Janet. Yeah. You're one of us.
Up the terriers, I think I can safely say.